All right, let's go ahead and get started. You can open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes. As we continue our study in Ecclesiastes, we're in chapter 9 this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes 9, and we're going to start in verse 11. Again I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time, like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time, when suddenly it falls upon them. I have also seen this example of wisdom under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, building great siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor, wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that poor man. But I say that wisdom is better than might. But the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise, heard in quiet, are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day, Lord. Thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us. You are truly a great God. You are worthy of praise. We lift you up this morning, Lord, and bow down before you. We acknowledge our own weaknesses, our own struggles, our own tendency to get frustrated and irritated when things don't go like we would like them to. I pray this morning you would instill in our hearts a desire to hand all things over to you, a desire to understand your complete sovereignty over all things. You're in control of all. Help us to submit to your will in our lives that we may live in joy and peace and contentment. Continue to draw us unto you, God. I pray you would give me the words to say this morning. Speak through me. Help it to be enriching and encouraging to others and to draw others unto you and learn truths about your word, God. We love you and praise you. And in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, so we have been on a bunch of different themes the past couple of weeks. Last week, we talked a lot about enjoying life, how the circumstances of life, the things that we go through in life, don't have to rob us of our joy. We can still enjoy life even in the midst of difficulties. We can still enjoy life even in the midst of hardships. This morning, we're going to talk about the unexpected things that happen in our life. As things are going, you're going through your life, and things are going smoothly, and then something causes a ripple, something in your life that causes something unexpected to happen. And this happens all the time. What I'd like to really impress upon you this morning is that our hand and our life is in the hand of God. He turns us whatever way He wishes. And it's a hard thing to get ingrained in our head that God knows what's best for our lives and we don't. And we rail against this. I was thinking as I was going through this message, do I know anyone that handles unexpected circumstances really well? And I couldn't think of anyone that I know that really handles this well. It's very difficult in your life to deal with things when they come up. They're unexpected. You don't know they're coming. You think things are going to go a certain way and they go completely different than what you thought. It's very difficult to continue in that vein without murmuring and disputing and grumbling and complaining and getting angry. It's very easy to go off the rails a little bit there. But today we're going to talk about the future. We're going to talk about what does the future hold? How can we understand what the future holds? And I think at the end of the day, you're going to see that the future does not always turn out the way you want it to. Again, I go back to World War II, Nazi-era Germany. The Jews in the early 30s were living in peace and very much wealth. They were very wealthy, very well off, And then all of a sudden, by the way, if you had 1933, 1934, if you had told the Jews what was going to happen in the next 10 years in their life, they wouldn't have been able to bear it. What's interesting is that when we look to the future, we always think of fortune tellers and we think of sorcerers and those who can predict the future and what we would like to know what the future holds. But I think in many ways we don't want to know what the future holds because oftentimes the future brings sadness and heartache. So the Jews for 10 years, they endured incredible persecution, suffering. They endured everything from gas chambers to living in ghettos. They had every single thing they owned stripped from them. And it's just an interesting thing to look at as we're looking at our passages this morning to think about what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and next year. We don't know. We don't know what the future brings. And so we have to put our trust and our hope in the sovereign God who knows all things. And last Sunday, Pastor Mark talked about George W. Carver, who is an interesting study, and I thought it was really neat to see his life and how he suffered immensely and went through many difficult things, and he still came out of that, first of all, enjoying life. He still had joy in his life, and he still persevered in his faith, and he had incredible accomplishments later on in his life. Because he didn't give up, because he didn't grumble and complain, because he didn't throw his hands up in the air and say, how can God do this to me? How come I'm so much more intelligent than that person? I'm so much better than that person. How can God allow them to succeed and me to fail? So Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. James 4:14, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. One of the themes of Ecclesiastes is your life is a mere breath. That's vain, vanity. Your life is a mere breath. You don't know what your days are going to bring. You don't know what's coming. You don't know whether it's going to be hardships or good times. But we can trust and rest in the fact that our hands and our life is in the hands of a sovereign God. A good quote from Spurgeon I wanted to read in this excellent book I got on his different quotes. He says, no doubt there are some people who are in easier circumstances than others. Some who are in positions where they enjoy many comforts, while others are in places where they suffer many hardships. But after all, happiness lies more in the mind than it does in the circumstances in which any individual is found. And the man within has far more to do with his own joy or sorrow than anything outside of him has. So our circumstances, we can be in easy circumstances or difficult circumstances. Ultimately, those are not what really matters in our life. Our walk with the Lord is what matters. So flip over, or you're in Ecclesiastes. Go back to chapter 8. I told you I was going to finish chapter 8 this week, verses 16 and 17. In chapter 8, I wanted to read real quick because I'm going to apply that to this week's lesson. 8:16, Ecclesiastes 8, verse 16. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, how neither day nor night do one's eyes sleep, then I saw all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. However much man may toil in seeking, he will not find it out. Even though a wise man claims to know, he will not find it. He cannot find it out. So Matthew Poole wrote on this section, no man, though never so wise and inquisitive and studious as it follows, is able fully and perfectly to understand these things. You're not able to fully and perfectly understand the will of God, what's coming. And therefore it is best for man not to perplex himself with endless and fruitless inquiries about these matters. We don't worry, stay up late at night worrying and perplexed about what's going to happen tomorrow, but quietly submit to God's will and providence, and to live in the fear of God and the comfortable enjoyment of His blessings. If God has blessed you, we talked last week about enjoying those blessings in a manner that pleases God, but we quietly submit to God's will and providence in our lives. This is so difficult to do. It's so difficult in our life when things come up that we don't expect and that we don't plan, and then it's so difficult to quietly submit to the will of God. God alone dictates what's going to happen in the future. God alone brings about what's going to come. And do you rest in that? So I thought about 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 7. I think Brother Justin's going to start a lesson on 1 Timothy. But 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 7 applied, I thought, to this lesson. It says, "As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculation rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith." I love this verse here. "The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." So the aim of our charge is love toward others. He lists three things there: a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. "Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions." So I thought about this, about how neither day nor night do one's eyes see sleep, and we cannot find out the ways that God works under the sun. We don't know everything. These people here were trying to teach, and they didn't even understand what they were teaching. So we come to things from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith, instead of speculating about vain and endless things that don't mean anything. We operate from a pure heart. Some things of God, by the way, are true mysteries. If you knew everything there was to know about God and you know all His ways, you would be God. So that's one thing to note, is you're not going to learn everything there is to know about God. So move forward in your life in a manner that pleases Him. God is also not a puppet. God does not obey your every whim. We've known plenty of Christians in the past throughout history who have prayed fervently for things and they haven't come to pass, who we know are strong Christians. So don't think just because something's happening in your life that's difficult, that's troubling, that God is not in control of each and every aspect of that condition. He is. Matthew Henry says, "He, God, would not have us try to give a reason for what God does, but leaving the Lord to clear up all difficulties in His own time, we may cheerfully enjoy the comforts and bear up under the trials of life, while peace of conscience and joy in the Holy Ghost will abide in us through all outward changes and when flesh and heart fail." We always want to try to find a reason for why things don't work out the way we had planned or we had intended them to. And I think sometimes it's good to study those things and try to learn from them, especially if there's sin involved. But many times we're just beating our heads against the wall to try to figure out what God did here or what God did there. We would be better off, he says, moving forward into peace of conscience and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's going to abide in us through all these things that happen outward. We're going to have much less pain and much more joy in your life if you just quietly submit to the will of God. Quietly submit to the will of God. This is peace. The incarnation program we just went through, I hope you guys were able to attend, was very good. And the theme was peace. The theme was peace in your hearts. How can you have peace this Christmas season? How can you have peace in the midst of storms? How can you have peace? And it's very difficult. We don't understand many times when we get into situations how difficult it is to maintain our peace in our hearts through difficult circumstances, through the storms of life. It is hard. It is not easy. Over and over again in Scripture, God tells us to cling to Him and to have peace in our hearts. I pray that as we approach this new year, that our lives would be filled with the peace of God, no matter what is happening in our life. So we're going to get into chapter 9 again. So go back over to 9, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. He lists five things here. He says, "Again, I saw under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge. But time and chance happen to them all." Time and chance happen to them all. Solomon is not saying that our lives are left to chance. That's not what he's saying here. That would contradict all the rest of Scripture. He's saying here that in this life, on this earth, Sometimes through our eyes, we cannot perceive the things that are happening to us. It seems like it's just a random occurrence of events. The wicked are prospering. There's injustice in the world. There's death in the world. How can all these things fit together and be good? We don't know. Time and chance happen to them all. The certainty of it all is that God holds the future in His hands, and God is in control. It's interesting, as I thought about these five things that he lists here, we're going to spend some time on this verse. I thought about these five things, and I thought about running. It says, the race is not to the swift. The Bible uses running as an analogy often. There's many times that the Bible uses running as an analogy for the race that you're in, running a race, and also the race of life. Your Christian walk is a race. You want to make it to the finish. You want to finish strong. You want to run with endurance. Romans 9:16 says, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. So it's not, you picture someone running along in a race, running, and it's not them that are actually accomplishing the things they're doing. It is God. God that shows mercy to people. But it goes much deeper than this. What Solomon is talking about here is outward circumstances. He's not talking about things that happen inside you. Jay Wilcox says, the phenomenon being noted as extraordinary and perplexing, we are to understand that in none of the cases observed is there any omission of effort. We have known many who have begun life with the fairest promise and who have apparently, without any fault of their own, failed to make their mark. Things happen in life. They are outside of our control. The race is not to the swift. He doesn't say the person was not fast. He was not the fastest one there. He says that he did not win the race, even though he was the fastest one there. We're talking about unexpected outcomes, things that are different than what we would expect them to be. So open up your handout. As I started going through these five things, I thought about some interesting analogies that we use throughout Scripture. The swift are defeated in a race. And how does that happen? Bridges writes, it is natural indeed to believe that the race would be to the swift and the battle to the strong, that prudent wisdom would obtain a competent provision and courtly skill would be the way to favor. But it is not always so. O Christian, do you find it hard to possess gifts and not rest in them, to have riches and not trust in them, to have wisdom and skill and not glory in them, to exercise simple dependence upon God as if we had nothing? Far is he from discouraging the use of means. He would only direct us in the use of them, not to sacrifice our net, which is God. He wants us to use the means he's given us on this earth, but not to trust in them. Means are one thing, but God can do whatever he wants to do. You may be the fastest person in the race, and you may not finish the race in first place. God brings about things. God intentionally brings things into our life that causes us to lose our dependence on the things of this world. Health, strength, wisdom, riches, honor, intelligence. All these things that we think are going to prosper us in this world. God will intentionally bring things into your life to strip you away from those things, so you can be wholly dependent on Him. God wants you dependent on Him, not on the means that He uses for you to accomplish things in your life. You have something planned in your day. Something disrupts it. God is intentionally causing you to focus on Him and to depend on Him. So, by the way, this transcends all ages, young, old, no matter who it is. We all have trouble dealing with unexpected circumstances in our life. I've seen this from the kids all the way up to the elderly, everyone. This applies to everyone. We all have trouble with this. So on your handout, we're going to start out with the race is not to the swift. And I thought about this for a minute. I am a runner, so this one was easy for me. And I was a fast runner one day, many years ago. And there have been times in my life where I was the fastest person in the race and I didn't win the race. And there are times like that. And I thought about what what are those circumstances look like, and how can we apply that to our life when we're living? Proverbs 16:9 says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." The purpose of the Lord. It's not always fair. We don't think of it as fair. Is it fair that the fastest person in the race doesn't win? Is that fair? No, it's not. They should win. They trained the hardest. They were the fastest. So, number one on your handout, earthly race. Not to the swift. Number one, they can get injured. You can get injured. You might be the fastest person there, but if you are injured, you're not going to make it. And this has happened to me numerous times. If you're a runner, you know injuries happen in your life. Oftentimes unexpected, oftentimes when you're in the best shape you can be in. So flip that over to what I call the race of life, and you can also have health problems or injuries in life. Health problems or injuries. It's not always, in fact, it never is, a smooth life where you go through and you never have any difficulties. You can have sickness, disease, terminal cancer, hinder us from the race of life, remove us from the race of life. Many things like that. Again, we talked about putting our trust and our hope in Christ alone. Number two, you can turn the wrong way. You can turn the wrong way in the earthly race. And I have actually had this happen to me on numerous occasions. There was one particular race I remember where I was way up front and turned the wrong way and ended up finishing way behind. And it's not very fun to get turned the wrong way. I might have been the fastest runner in the race, but I certainly didn't win. The race of life, you can be steered or instructed in the wrong way. Steered or instructed in the wrong way. People give us bad advice, bad counsel. Many times we can find ourselves being steered and directed off the path that God would have us to go. We have to cling to Christ. It is difficult enough to finish the race of life, to finish well. We have to have wisdom as we deal with people. Number three, in the earthly race, you can get impeded by something in your way. Impeded by something. It could be tripping over a root or falling in a hole or anything like that. You can get impeded, something that blocks your path. Same with the race of life. And I think about the unexpected things of life. You can get impeded by the unexpected things of life. It might be your car breaking down. It may be having difficulties with people, death in the family, anything. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11. I thought this applied well to this section here. 2 Corinthians 11. To the fact that unexpected circumstances come up sometimes that block our path. Paul certainly had this in his life. 2 Corinthians 11, he lists a lot of the things that he had to deal with. We're going to start in verse 25. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, in danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Do you think you have difficulty in your life? We don't have difficulty in our life. Danger after danger after problem. And the interest, why I wanted to bring that up, read over to chapter 12, verse 10. Paul says, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I think what Paul shows here is that through all these difficulties, through this shipwreck and these dangers and all these things he faces, he still kept his focus on Christ. And we would be wise to do that. All the things he suffered, he never took his eye off Christ. He was weak. And sometimes we get weak in the midst of life circumstances, but we can be strong in Christ. And last one on your handout, on number four, someone can bump you or knock you down. This is when someone else gets in your way. This has actually happened to me numerous times in a race where I would be running up and somebody would come by me and trip my legs and I would not fall down. I couldn't avoid it. There was nothing I could do about it. He just tripped me. And same thing in life. Someone can get in your way. Someone can knock you down or cause you to stop. You have a plan. You have something you're going to do through the day. And someone knocks you off of that plan. Sometimes I think our day is so planned out and our day is so structured that we don't have time to deal with people. When people come into our lives who need help or people come into our lives that have difficulties, we just want to continue on with our perfectly planned out day. And God brings people into our lives sometimes so that we can encourage them and disciple them and they can do the same thing to us. Don't always think when your life is going smoothly and something interrupts that smoothness that it's a bad thing. Sometimes that can be a very good thing. Next, we're going to look at the battle is not to the strong. The battle is not to the strong. Proverbs 21:31 says, "The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord." And we're going to talk about how the battle is not always to the strong. We love the underdog story, how the weak army comes up against the strong army, and somehow the weak army is able to win. The battle is not always to the strong. Number one, you can be outmaneuvered. You can be outmaneuvered. We see this a lot in battles where you have the strong army that comes up and faces the weaker army, and the weaker army puts up a front, and then they go around the stronger army and defeat them from the rear. They come up from the rear and defeat them. They're outmaneuvered. And we're going to talk about our spiritual battle in this one. And on that side, we're outmaneuvered by the enemy. Outmaneuvered by the enemy. Pastor Mark has been talking about the armor of God. And I'm excited to be able to get into the actual armor here. But the enemy is cunning. Satan comes at us in unexpected ways. In ways we're not going to expect. 1 Corinthians 10:12. So the one who thinks he is standing firm should be careful not to fall. So don't think just because your walk with the Lord is going great and everything's going smooth, there will be something that comes, some outmaneuver. The enemy will attack you in a way that you're not expecting it. That's why this armor of God is so critical that we're going to get into here. Number two, earthly battle, not to the strong. You don't spend enough time planning the battle. Don't spend enough time planning the battle. I talked a little bit about Hitler's invasion of Russia in World War II. I think a fault of his was that he didn't think through that battle enough. He went at the wrong time of year. He didn't have enough resources to extend all the way to Moscow. There was a lot of issues he had there that he didn't think through. And I think the German army was very strong, Nazi Germany, the stronger of the armies, but they were defeated. And the battle is not always to the strong. You have to think through things. Same thing with our spiritual battle. But I put, you don't spend enough time in the Word of God. You don't spend enough time in the Word of God. Sometimes we can think we're going so well in our life that we neglect the very thing that is our strength. That's the Word of God. Reading it, studying it. How much time are you really spending in the Word of God? Pastor Mark's going to get into that as one of the pieces of armor, but we have to be careful as the battle is not always to us when we're strong. We feel like we're strong. We need the Word of God with us because we are weak. Turn with me to Psalm 119. I had to read a passage from Psalm 119 when talking about the Word of God. Beautiful Psalm. Anytime you're wanting to just appreciate the Word of God and the greatness of it, Psalm 119, we're going to read just verses 33 to 40, Psalm 119, 33 to 40. It says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law. Observe it while with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things." Those are some of the things we've been talking about in Ecclesiastes. Selfish gain, worthless things. 37, "And give me life according in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts, in your righteousness give me life." So the Word of God is life. May we be consumed and filled with the Word of God as we go out into a world that is unexpected and is certainly full of the enemy. Number three on your handout, they become too conceited and think the victory will be easy. Become too conceited and think the victory is going to be easy. And the flip side of that in the spiritual battle is basically the same thing. You become proud of the good life you are living. Pride. This is pride. You become conceited. You think, oh, I'm going really well in my spiritual walk. I'm doing well. I'm not in any big sin. I'm reading 5 minutes of my Bible a day, and I'm praying a little bit, and things are going well. And that's pride. You got to focus on Christ. I thought about David and Goliath here because this is the most popular story of the weak and the strong. But when I thought, I'd never really thought a lot about the actual battle of David and Goliath. And I got into it a little bit. We always think of David as this weak, you know, frail looking boy that comes up against this huge giant and God just miraculously saves him. But that's not what really happened. Remember, David had killed a lion and a bear. David knew how to operate a slingshot. He was very skilled. He knew not to take armor. He had a lot of wisdom as he went into that battle. And Goliath was very conceited, very proud. Goliath was clearly the stronger of the two, but he was very proud. It wasn't just this incredible victory. There was reasons behind the victory. God uses the means that we have to accomplish his purposes. David picked 5 smooth stones. He knew what to pick. He had a dead-eye aim. He hit Goliath right in the forehead, an incredible shot. And that's all it would have taken would have been just a little miss, and Goliath would have probably mowed David down. But David was strong and skilled, and Goliath was way too overconfident. So we look at that. I looked at that in a little different way as I was going through that. But certainly in that particular battle, the stronger person did not win that battle as we would think of it. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom." In Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall." So let's not be prideful in our spiritual walk. Last one, number four, just plain old bad luck. Just plain old bad luck is how you can lose a battle when you're not strong. Or the battle is not always to the strong. I think about the Battle of Midway, which was one of my dad's favorite battles in World War II. And it was the Japan naval forces went up against the United States, and the United States just happened to hit 2 of Japan's aircraft carriers as they were refueling. They had lines of gas all run across the carriers. Some of the planes were actually sitting there being fueled when they were hit. On one of the aircraft carriers from Japan, only one torpedo hit the carrier and sunk the whole thing because it just hit at just the right spot. So it's ill timing. It's just bad luck sometimes when you lose a battle. And I think about, on the flip side of this, to think about the providence of God. We don't believe in luck. We don't believe in bad luck in life. There is no bad luck or good luck. There's the providence of God. Sometimes there's no other way to explain things except the providence of God. I think about Joseph and what he went through. Genesis 50 verse 20 says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." The battle is not always to the strong. Sometimes God just allows things to happen in order to strengthen us or to bring about His will or to test us. Many things that happen. Next on your handout, bread is not always to the wise and riches are not to the intelligent. I group these two together because they're very similar. What he's saying is earthly things don't always come about to those who are wise and intelligent. You may be the wisest person in the world. Sometimes that doesn't always work out well. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Solomon's already talked about this multiple times in Ecclesiastes, how we look out in the world and we see those who are less intelligent, less wise, and they seem to have it all. And we who are trying to do what's right by the Word of God, we don't seem to have anything and we struggle. But we've talked about how that is vain and that actually hurts you in the end to think that way. So on your handout, we're going to talk about earthly wisdom and spiritual wisdom here and how they fail to always get us, I'll call it sustenance or riches. Number one, injustice or wickedness befalls you. Injustice or wickedness befalls you. Sometimes you're doing everything you can right. You're doing the right things. And just something comes along that is unjust. The wicked just attack you. And this is the same on the spiritual wisdom side too. Injustice or wickedness befall you. You don't benefit in this life because someone else does who is not as wise or not as intelligent as you are. We're talking about spiritually here. Wisdom, especially godly wisdom, does not always help you in this life. Sometimes that is actually despised and looked down upon. And you will actually be treated worse because of your spiritual wisdom. Number two, you can get robbed. You can be the wisest person in the world, and then you can get robbed of everything you own. And there it is, you've lost it. And I thought about the spiritual side of this. You can get robbed of your spiritual joy. We talked about this a little bit last week. Robbed of your spiritual joy. When we go through something that is difficult, something that is unexpected, something that is outside of our control, and we lose our joy, we lose our enjoyment of life, that is vanity. That is something or someone else robbing us of the thing that God commands us to do. Number three, tragedy befalls you. Tragedy befalls you. Some unexpected tragedy that causes your world to fall apart. On the spiritual side of this, I put God allows tragedy into your life. God allows tragedy into your life. Wisdom does not always help to prevent tragedies or difficulties or hardships in life. Look at Job. Look at Job, who's a very wise man in Scripture. And he had great tragedy come upon him. And he was barely able to recover his spiritual continuance in the Lord. He had difficulties. He had trouble and he had hard time dealing with God in many ways. Of course, we know he came out of that at the end in a very good way. But when God allows tragedy in our life, don't just think we're going to just wash it away and everything's going to be fine. There's difficulties there and there's things we have to deal with. But wisdom from God is certainly going to help us through that. And number four, we have to bail our children out. Thought about this too, about how oftentimes in life sustenance and riches don't go to those who are wise. Sometimes your children you have trouble with and they end up wicked and you have to deal with that. And same with the spiritual wisdom, your children grow up to be wicked. We see this in the life of Eli as he didn't discipline his two sons and they grew up to be wicked and caused him many hardships and difficulties in life. You lose sleep, you get stressed out. I think as parents, the most difficult thing we have to do is to understand that our life is not tied up in our children. Our life is not our children. That's not who we are. Our life is tied up in Christ. And our wisdom is in Him. And the last one here on your handout, he says in Ecclesiastes 9:11, favor does not go to those with knowledge. Sometimes in life, favor does not go to those with knowledge. We're going to talk about earthly knowledge and spiritual knowledge. Number one on your handout, you get passed over unjustly. You get passed over unjustly. This happens at work a lot, where you might be the most knowledgeable person, but you get passed over. Someone's better looking or cooler than you or has a better personality than you, all kinds of things. And on the spiritual side of that, your knowledge gets overlooked as others get the credit. Your knowledge gets overlooked as others get the credit. We know how to deal wisely in a situation, and then we're forgotten for all the things that we've given or contributed. That's why, again, this comes back to trusting in the Lord, not in men. We don't do what we do for the favor of men. We don't go through life trying to impress men, trying to impress people. Number two, they unfairly favor someone with less knowledge. They unfairly favor someone with less knowledge. This is typically because of a past friendship or relationship or something like that. Same with our spiritual life. They unfairly favor the wicked or the less spiritual. The wicked or the less spiritual. And he's talked about this before, so I won't really get into that a lot, but he's talked about how the wicked oftentimes get favors in this life, and we are to trust in Christ. Number three, you gain too much knowledge and start to be above others. And this is where pride comes into play. You gain too much knowledge and start to be above others. Same with our Christian walk. The pursuit of knowledge is a good thing, but I have seen people who have taken it to the extreme, where all they want to do is pursue knowledge and get this stuff in their head so that they can fill themselves with all the stuff in the Word. And they only do it not so that they can know the Lord and not so that they can have a walk with Christ, but so they can walk around telling other people how much they know and how much they have in their head. That's pride. That's a problem. And last one, number four, earthly disease robs you of the knowledge you have. We've seen this with Alzheimer's and dementia, where you might have much knowledge and then you're literally robbed of that by some earthly disease. And same thing with our spiritual knowledge. Mental issues or disease weaken your knowledge of God. And I can't think of anything worse in my life than coming to the end of my life and not being able to comprehend the things of God and not being able to worship Him and read the Word and understand it. We need to pray that God would help us in that. Verse 12, real quick here as we finish up. Verse number 12, for man does not know his time, like fish that are taken in an evil net and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. Bridges says, each of us has our time. We have our time. We can have all the knowledge and wisdom and riches we want, but when it's your time to go, it's your time. And T. Manton had a good quote here. He said, because if we have sufficient knowledge, yet God can easily put some impediment from within or without to hinder the use of our wisdom, power, and knowledge. God can put something in your life that is going to take you out from your comfort zone, take you away from what you're comfortable in, and like fish taken in a net, you're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to hurt. You're going to go through difficulties. As a Christian, we know that all things work together for good. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes. Ephesians 1:11 says, in Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. And what I pray this morning is you will see is that all these things in our life, things don't go exactly how you want them to go. Life is not always right as we see it in this world. The fast don't always win the race. The strong don't always win the battle. The intelligent don't always succeed in this life. But as we go through those things, we have to keep our trust in Christ. We have to keep our eyes fixed on Him. Where else are you going to turn? Who else are you going to turn to in the midst of difficulties? What is grumbling and complaining and getting angry and frustrated going to really do? It doesn't help anything. In fact, it hurts it. It hurts things, really, to do that. It hurts your own heart. Pastor Mark talked last week about how the days are evil. These are evil days. We're going to go through difficulties. There's going to be hardships. This is the world we live in, the world God put us in. But may we trust in Him. And verses 13 to 16, Solomon gives an example. Just like Jesus used to do, Solomon gives an example. He says, I have seen this example of wisdom under the sun. It seemed great to me, or it seemed far out there to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, building siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor, wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that poor man. But I say that wisdom is better than might, though the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. So this is a vivid example of what we've been talking about all morning. This man who was poor but very wise saved the entire city from this incredible army coming against it. And then he was forgotten. Jay Wilcock thinks the reason he was forgotten was because he was poor. Or why would Solomon put that in there? But it could be. Remember, in life, oftentimes the rich and the well-off get favored over the poor and the humble. And yet he saved the entire city. And we look at that circumstance and we think, what an incredible injustice that man went through. He saved the entire city. And Solomon ends by saying, I say that wisdom is better than might, though the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. So wisdom is better than might. Our hope is not in men. Our hope is not in wealth. Our hope is not in our intelligence. Our hope is not in our strength. Our hope is in the Lord. Two things Bridges says we can learn. Learn to estimate men by their wisdom and godliness, not by their outward show. Estimate men by their wisdom and godliness, not by their outward show. Number two, learn to be prepared for disappointment. Learn in your life to be prepared for disappointment. You are going to be disappointed. You will be disappointed with men. You will be disappointed at some point in your life with every single person in your life. I guarantee you, we're not perfect. So, we focus on Christ, not on our circumstances. Verses 17 and 18, we are going to get into next week. I think they tie more into chapter 10 than they do here at the end of chapter 9. So we're going to start those next week. Actually, I'm going to be off next week. It'll be after the first of the year when we'll pick this back up. This is a good stopping point, actually. And then chapter 10 reads a lot like a Proverbs. And so we're going to go through that a little differently than we have been going. But the main two things to note from this morning, don't worry about these circumstances around you when things don't go as you plan. Trust in the Lord, rest in Him, quietly submit to the will of God in your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the time in your Word, God. Thank you for the blessings you've given to us. You are a great God. I pray that you would continue to instill in our hearts, God, this quiet submission to your will. It is so difficult in our life when the things that come up in our life aren't what we expect, and the race of life doesn't go smooth and we aren't able to finish as we would like. And yet I pray you would instill in our hearts an understanding that we will be disappointed in life, an understanding that things will not go as expected. Give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us grace, give us mercy in our life. Help us to trust in you and submit to your will in our life in all things, God. We long and desire to be able to go through unexpected circumstances, difficulties, hardships, and go through it in joy and contentment and peace in the fear of you, God. Teach us those things, for we desperately need them. Pray you'd be with Pastor Mark. Help him to have a good message this morning. Speak through him. Give us attentive ears. Help us to listen and learn and grow in our faith, Lord. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.